think it might go beans, like on their like cherry. And the first I wanted to tell you a story. This is around the time last year that, at the end of September, that Puerto Rico was ravaged by a very bad storm, Hurricane Maria. My parents live in Puerto Rico, and they live in the mountains in a town called San Sebastian, and I talk to my parents every day. Like, every day we have, even if it's a short conversation, we talk on the phone. And when the hurricane hit, the intention was for them to lock up the house and go next door where my grandmother lived with my mother's two sisters, but the storm came too fast and too quickly and they got caught home alone. So they had the house boarded up. They went to the bedroom, which faces the back, which shows like the mountains and the land, and you could see the neighboring farms, and they had everything boarded up. So the storm came and they were laying on their bed, and the wind was so fierce and so loud that my mother was freaking out. She was so, so scared. And my father, around this time, was around the time that I got to have a full conversation with them on the phone. We had very bad connection. We couldn't hear each other. We couldn't even get through for like at least 3 weeks. But it was around this time, and that's why I thought about it. I've been thinking about that this time. And he got through, and then he told me about what happened that day. And he was telling me that they were laying on the bed listening to the fierce wind, and it was loud, and it sounded evil. It sounded like the house was gonna be ripped from the earth and taken into the sky. My mother was so scared. And he said, but Susie, I was peaceful. I was so peaceful. And he goes, do you know why? Because while that wind was raging, I heard soft music playing. There was soft music, and that's all I could hear. And I was at peace. And I knew that we were going to be okay, and the house was going to be okay because of that soft music playing. But my mother, she was still freaking out, and my father was like, Blanca, listen. Listen for the music. Just get quiet. Get peaceful. Just listen. And she got quiet, and then she heard it too. And then she was at peace. And that's what kept them peaceful during the storm. And they knew they were going to be okay because that soft music playing. Kind of reminded me of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. The Lord wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire, but he was in that gentle whisper. So I'm thinking about today, and I'm like, I gotta start with that story. Because for today, we need to leave the world outside and all the things that are going on in the world outside and just block that out for today, and today just listen to the Lord's gentle whisper. And for us to be obedient to God's voice, we have to be able to block out the world and just hear the Lord's wisdom, right? Okay. So we're going to go to Hebrews 5. In the notes that I have in the syllabus there, Jared gave a definition, a dictionary definition of obedience, but I want to give you a biblical definition now. As we go to Hebrews 5, I'm going to go. Okay. According to Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, the definition of biblical obedience is to hear God's word and act accordingly. The word translated obey in the Old Testament means to hear, and it's often so translated. In the New Testament, several words describe obedience. One word means to hear or to listen in a state of submission. Another New Testament word, often translated obey, means to trust. In the Inman's Bible Dictionary, it states, true hearing or obedience involves the physical hearing that inspires the hearer and a belief or trust that in turn motivates the hearer to act in accordance to the speaker's desires. So biblical obedience to God means to hear, to trust, submit, and surrender to God and his word. It's to hear, submit, and act. And I think Jesus' life perfectly exemplified this, and we're going to look at that in the scriptures today. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And here, you know, during his earthly life, he consistently offered up prayers and petitions, supplications to his God. That word, the second word, petitions, is earnest supplication for peace. And the NET says that God heard him because of his devotion. And the NIV says God heard him because of his reverent submission. Because we have to submit and act what we're going to obey. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 34. And it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was not far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, you give them something to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? Like, we can't afford to feed all these people. We don't have the means to do that. He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies unto the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and break the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. He fed all those people, 5,000 men plus their families. Wow. With them. Verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And that's what I want to look at today, how he often went off on his own to spend time alone with God just to pray and to talk to his Father. We're going to see that again in Luke chapter 5. And in verse 15, it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And Jesus did that often. People were always around him. They wanted to hear him teach. They wanted to be healed, and they wanted to be touched by him. And he was always in the midst of people, always asking of him. But in order for him to have the strength to meet those needs, he needed to go off and be with God and pray for his sustenance, for his strength. I remember a while ago when the kids were little, Jay and Victoria are like 15 months apart, so everybody tells me that's having twins the hard way. So when they were toddlers, I remember one particular night that there was chaos. I couldn't get anybody to go to sleep. Everybody was crying. There was tantrums. I was exhausted. And they were really small, so I was new to parenting, and I didn't know what to do. And there was just chaos in my house. Now, as much as I would have liked to go up to a mountain to pray at that moment, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that because I had babies to tend to. So And I will never forget this. I was just so exhausted and frustrated. And the best that I could do is, there's a front window that faces outside, you know, the street. And I just walked to the window. And I remember just looking out the window and inhaling the night air. And just the soft, gentle prayer, God, I don't know what to do. I need help. I'm tired, frustrated. Please help me. I don't know what to do. I took another deep breath. And then I turned around and took care of the kids. And whatever God showed me, I don't even remember what it was, but it worked. Everybody was quiet. There was peace in my home. Everybody went to bed. And life was good. Because I took that moment to step away and just ask God, God help me. I don't know what to do. And I left the chaos behind me. What's still happening? Well, I was talking to God. But I blocked that out, like the way my parents blocked out that wind, just to hear the soft music that was breathing. And that's what I did. I walked away from it just to spend a few moments. It didn't have to be a long time. A few moments just to ask God, help me. I read a book a few years ago, and I love to read. I read a lot of books. But I love to read books about strong women, godly women. And this particular woman stood out to me. Because she was born in the 1600s. The book was called Seven Women by Arithmetoxis. And her name is Susanna Wesley. Born in the 1600s, she gave birth to 19 kids. I had a hard time to that night. I can't imagine that. But 10 of them survived to adulthood. Not all of them survived. But at any one time, she had 10 kids in her home, ranging from toddlers to, I'm sure, late teens. And she's also the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement, and they won many, many souls to Christ. She's their mother. And because of who she was and how she ran her house, I believe, was very strongly impacted John and Charles Wesley. And I believe John was the one who wrote the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So I'm going to read you a little something about her life. Susanna's household organizational skills are the stuff of legends. She knew from personal experience that quality one-on-one time with her parents is hard to come by in a family with many children. Yes, powerfully important. So she set a rotating schedule through which each of her children spent an hour with her alone before bedtime on a designated night each week. What is more, she somehow found a way to manage the household and give her large brood of children a world-class education that included both classical and biblical learning. Her girls got the same vigorous education as did her boys, something virtually unheard of in that day. That day, they told the girls just to be wise, but not her. She told her daughters to read, math, and everything they needed to do to be able to be self-sufficient. Early in her life, she vowed that she would never spend more time in leisure entertainment than she did in prayer and Bible study. Even amid the most complex and busy years of her life as a mother, she still scheduled 2 hours each day for fellowship with God and time in His Word. And she adhered to that schedule faithfully. The challenge was finding a place of privacy in a house filled to overflowing with children. Mother Wesley's solution to this was to bring her Bible to her favorite chair and throw her long apron up over her head, forming a sort of tent. This became something akin to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle in the days of Moses in the Old Testament. Every person in the household, from the smallest toddler to the oldest domestic helpers, knew well to respect the signal. When Susanna was under that apron, she was with God and was not to be disturbed except in the case of direst emergency. There in the privacy of her little tent, she interceded for her husband and children and plumbed the deep mysteries of God in the scriptures. This holy discipline equipped her with a thorough and profound knowledge of the Bible. And I'm sure it gave her strength to raise 10 kids to honor God and to alone time with God is critical. Jesus needed it. How much more do we need it? And it doesn't have to be a mountain. It could be a window, like in my case. It could be your apron or jacket or anywhere that somebody will know you have people around you that this is my time with God. I need this for your benefit. I need this. So for everybody, it could be something different. If you're at work and you need that alone time with God, go sit in your car. Go take a walk in the parking lot. Go to the bathroom, lock yourself in the store. If you're in school, same thing. Go to the bathroom, lock yourself in the store. Got a few seconds of prayer, connecting with God like Jesus did. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. And we'll start reading from 35. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth, and he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. But before he was able to do that, he took that moment to step aside alone to pray. I have in the syllabus a few verses in John there. And it says in John 4:34, if you want to follow along from the syllabus, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I would love to come to the place where to do God's will is my food, my nourishment, my sustenance. That's the place I want to be left to. John 5:30. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 10:18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. John 12:49. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. John 14:28. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We see in those few verses that I read that Jesus always did the Father's will. But it's because he had that connection with God that he would step away and pray and talk and have that conversation with God. This is what obedience is. He would pray and hear, submit, and then act. Because that's what obedience is. And that's what we need to do, because we are to emulate Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And many of those scriptures that we just read, where he went off to the mountain to pray, we don't see what he's praying about. We just know that he's getting his strength, his direction, his guidance, and whatever he needed from God to be able to do all the things that he did to do his Father's will. Everything that he needed to do so that he's doing what his Father asked him to do. We're going to go to Mark 14. I'm closing Mark 14. Mm-hmm. scriptures don't reveal what you prayed for or about, but we do see it in Mark 14, a prayer. And in Mark 14, verse 35, it says, and this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. This is our example of obedience, to seek God in prayer and to do his will. Your will, God, not mine. To pray, hear, submit, and act. That's our Lord's example. That's our example how we're supposed to live. And we need that time alone with God in prayer so we can block out the world and just focus on God and what he has to tell us so that we can live like Christ lived and live to please God. That's how we did it. And the part we should go. That's what I wanted to share.